like twist the end like a little bit there, like the you did a good job with that.
Michael, was I credible on that?
Oh, you sounded a lot like Harry Connick Jr., man. Beautiful voice.
There you go. There
I
you
like
go.
Your voice. You got a good voice, Mace.
Yeah, I'm always
just
available
jealous.
To do the
Ireland,
anthem.
Can you sing Ireland? You're Irish. You should be able to sing.
Sure,
what do you want to hear, Michael?
After a couple of pints?
No, I don't
Broadway
even need
John.
The pints. I can
Broadway
sing
John.
Broadway
John. What name?
What song from The Sound of Music do you want to hear, Michael?
Let's see. Sound of Music? What's that?
What do you
How
mean, what's
doe,
that?
It's doe, a deer, a female deer.
Doe, a deer, a female deer. Ray, a drop of golden sun. Me, a name I call myself. Fa, a long, long way to run.
That's not bad.
No, he knows Sound of Music.
Yeah, and I bet you probably had the dance hands going too, right?
Of course.
Jazz hands.
Now, Michael, do you have any Nat King Cole for us? Or what about something from, the 50s?
Johnny Mathis, chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Yeah, it's got to be old. Like, how about some Ella Fitzgerald?
Yeah, oh, she was great. I loved Ella. You laughing at an icon.
She went to number one when Michael was a kid.
That's right.
All right. So I think we got Momo coming up here. Is she standing by?
Is she going to be on time? Ramona?
Nope, she's late.
We'll have to check on her.
Yep, she's late. Yeah. Momo, by the way, had her back surgery, and apparently she's pain-free already. She had it last week. And she's feeling really good about it. Michael, you had surgery recently.
Yeah.
I had surgery a couple of years ago. You know what is amazing about it is how quickly you can bounce back from it. Like, I was down for a week after I had my disc fusion in my neck. And then I was back to completely normal. Michael, how long did you go through the hip thing?
Oh, by the time I was starting to feel a little bit better, it took me about 3.5 or 4 weeks before I can start, getting up and down more normally.
But isn't it like an outpatient procedure?
Yeah, I got my surgery that morning at 6:30, 7 a.m., and I was home that evening. So I didn't have to stay in the hospital overnight.
Yeah, I mean, it's that easy. Now, I mean, they went into my neck and fused discs.
Yeah, these doctors are amazing, ain't they?
And I went home that day. It's like, hey, thanks.
Michael, how's your hip now?
I'm walking normally. Yes, you see, no more limp. I haven't started playing golf yet, so I'm going to wait till the spring to start getting on the golf course. But Dr. Clapper, man, if you people are listening, he's not paying me, but if you got some hip problems or joint problems, he's the man to go see.
He is the guy.
He's
absolutely the guy. So Momo's going to join us here in a minute. One of the conversations that I want to bring up with her is the MVP race in the National Basketball Association.
It's a three-horse race.
For me, and
granted, Michael, I think it's four now.
Who's the fourth?
Steph. Have you seen his numbers?
Yeah, but
they're seventh, eighth. Come on. You can't put them in there.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing.
Michael, what would they be without him?
Well, a lottery team, of course.
Right.
Really low.
I'm just saying, his numbers are stunning.
Yes, they're doing great. But it's Aladar, Affirmed, and Seattle Slew right now. Nobody's secretariat.
Well, no, you don't put Giannis
LeBron
in there this year.
No, please.
Jokic and Embiid.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's nobody's secretary yet. Nobody's like 31 less ahead of the field.
All right, in all seriousness, Michael, let me argue that LeBron is that.
Okay, secretariat?
Yes, because LeBron has played in every game for a 19-16.
True.
Embiid's missed several games already.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, so did Jokic. And when Jokic plays against LeBron,
he got crushed. He was terrible against
right.
us.
He doesn't. LeBron always beats him head to head like a drum.
Yeah, he's ahead.
So how
could
I make the argument to put Jokic or Embiid ahead of LeBron?
Well, Embiid's right there with LeBron. LeBron's ahead. LeBron's the favorite right now, but Embiid's within a few lengths because he does have the Sixers on top in the Eastern Conference, and he is putting up monster numbers, and they're winning because of him.
Yeah, no question. All right, I think Momo's on.
I'm here.
Yeah,
hi, Momo.
3 minutes late, Momo.
What's up?
Wait a minute. She wouldn't be Momo if she wasn't a couple minutes late.
No, exactly.
There are four time zones in America: Eastern Time, Standard Time, Mountain, Pacific. Oh, I should say, it's like Black People Time and Momo Time.
Now,
George says Mexican Time too. I didn't know that.
Every time Michael brings that up, I used to have a friend of mine. Her name is Tanya. We were reporters together in San Diego. And we'd do a lot of stuff when we got off of work. And she would say to me, I go, are we going to that thing tonight? She'd go, yeah. I go, what time do you want me to pick you up? And she'd say, 8:30 BT. And I said, what's 8:30 BT? She goes, 8:30 black time. I go, what does that mean? She goes, it means you come to my house and get mad at me when I'm not ready until 9:15.
That's true.
That, Michael, that's a real thing. That's Isn't true. That offensive?
The only thing that breaks brothers and sisters from that bad habit is playing on sports teams. You cannot be late.
Can't be late.
Can't be late.
So, Momo, how you feeling? You got your surgery, right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, I'm just kind of chilling. You know, like I'm just like laying in.
Are
home.
You in? Is there any pain?
No.
Are you
amazing.
Mostly in bed, or are you up and around?
I'm up and around, but they told me I'm not supposed to be up and around too much.
So right? What was your procedure exactly? Was it a fusion? Was it a replacement? Because you have a lower back thing, right?
Yeah, it's like a it's called a microdiscectomy. They just cut off the part of the disc that's like jabbing into your nerve.
Was that an old injury from the softball days at Cal?
Yeah, I know. you know, actually part of it was. There was like a little bone spur in there too. And they think that was my sliding leg, right? So that's like the leg I was always sliding on that was probably part of the problem. But I think it's actually a motherhood injury.
Like, really?
It was. Yeah, they said, honestly, like that was probably like I was probably always going to get this at some point in my life just based on how my spine looks, right? But like when you have a baby, like, you kind of traction your spine because you get all stretched out, and then it didn't like come back together the right way, right? And then I was always carrying him on one side, which if you're a parent out there, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Switch sides. When you carry your kids, switch sides, because that was like I was always had him on my right hip.
So, and Momo, how have you gotten through the pain that is associated with surgery?
Well, my friend Steve Mason introduced me to the Magic App.
What's that?
Oh, you're a pothead too.
you gotta play the music for me if we're gonna have this conversation.
Oh
yeah,
man.
Give us some Marley.
Give us some Venice Mace.
So you smoke a little joint to
I don't know how to smoke. I literally have never done it in my life. I tried it with a vape pen and I started coughing like a. I mean, I would totally embarrass myself if I was
so
like
what
hanging
is it?
Out
taking
with people.
Pills. What?
No, you just do the gummies or there's like a tincture and stuff, and it's like really good.
And
know?
Here's the
like,
thing, I told Momo beforehand, and I went through this myself. You know what? The opioid thing is terrible.
Yeah.
Taking oxy and all those opioids, hydrocodone, those things are addictive.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
totally.
If you use some cannabis in whatever form, I still occasionally smoke, but I do a lot of vaping. If you use cannabis, you can get through that procedure and the pain that goes along with it without getting strung out on the opioids, which have all kinds of side effects.
Pura Yesca!
Pura Yesca!
I mean, Mace, I'm a believer. I'm telling you, I have never laughed so hard at the Super Bowl commercials.
and you had a munchies too? And the little munchies?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, we got all these finger foods, and, like sliders, and I was just like, man, that Cheetos commercial, I want some Cheetos. Like, I was just like, the whole time it's Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, I'm like in pain a little bit, just more like stiff and sore.
Yeah.
But like honestly, it's amazing to have really bad debilitating pain for like 8 months and then have it be gone.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's weird.
Does vaping involve chemicals in that too, Mace?
Or
is it just straight?
Well, some people say there are. It's literally a vapor as opposed to a smoke. It's much better on your lungs to vape than it is to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I go back to old. My friend Granddaddy Purple OG comes over from time to time, and I do enjoy that. And occasionally that involves lighting up. But for the most part,
can you get that in? Can you can Ramona take Granddaddy Purple OG in an edible?
Oh yeah, yeah. You can absolutely
now
choose your strain.
Now when
I
you're
still
lighting
just
up,
can't get over the fact that you can literally order it on an app,
and they show up at your door.
Now when you're lighting up, Mace, do your neighbors can smell it too? Because obviously it's all over the place.
I've got a really big yard. You've not been to any of my parties because you never show up, even though I invite.
It's too
you.
Far but for him to drive. Yeah.
But I've got a really big backyard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think I'm affecting my neighbors.
Oh, okay.
And
also lives in Venice. I mean,
yeah, I live in Venice, so it's everywhere. And I'm not exactly Snoop. I'm not Willie Nelson over here. So Momo, we were talking about the MVP race, and
I don't think it's close. I don't know why you guys are even debating it.
You don't think?
I mean, it's LeBron.
And Embiid's not in the conversation?
No, it's LeBron, man. I mean, look. First of all, this is like a makeup call for last year, right? Because he shamed everybody into who didn't vote for him last year, and they should have. And he's played every damn game. Are you kidding me? Like, after having a 2-month off season, playing as well as he has with Anthony Davis not being Anthony Davis quite yet. Yeah. I mean, I don't even think this is close.
People say you need a narrative to win.
He's got a narrative.
And he's got a narrative.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the year that 43-year-old Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. This is the year that 36-year-old LeBron James is playing like he's in his prime. He just had broke the record for most triple-doubles for any player over the age of 35. I mean, to me, that's the narrative, is that how's this guy, after 18 years, still, I mean, he's had the longest prime of any athlete I can think of.
I mean, I can't believe that this is – I really – like, Tim Bontemps hit me with his straw poll, and I was just like, it's LeBron. I mean, I voted for LeBron last year too, but I also – I think this year is even clearer, because last year you had the statistical dominance of Giannis, and the Bucks had the best record in the league. So I understand all the stat nerds loves, you know, the Giannis vote, and he deserved to win too, okay. I voted for him the year before. I thought he deserved it. But to me, I thought LeBron had the narrative last year. Like, taking the Lakers from missing the playoffs 6 years in a row to the best record in the West, to, you know, shaping the team around him and AD that quickly on the fly. I mean, I don't know what people are talking about that he didn't have a narrative. He had the narrative last year.
Did he finish third
second.
Last year? Second.
No, second. Second, but like the guy led the league in assists at age 35. I mean, where is he in the league lead for assists this year? He's probably top five still, right?
No, sure.
I mean, played every single game after having a 71-day off season.
Is that what he wants to do? Because does he take pride in that he's not going to low advantage?
You know, Michael, when LeBron came to L.A., Ty Lue and I were talking about it, and he said, you know, you guys always ask me about how well why he plays so many minutes. Like, you know, Ty was the coach of the Cavs at the time.
Hey, Momo, can you we're up against the clock.
Yeah.
And normally we would go to the scoop, but we'll do the scoop at 2:30. Can you hang out for another second? I'm calling an audible.
I'm not doing anything.
All right, cool. Mason in Ireland, 7:10.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
ESPN. Yeah. What's going on? Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being out there. We appreciate you. Without you guys listening, we would not be able to do this dumb show every day. And Momo is hanging out with us. So is Michael Thompson, talking a little bit about the MVP race. And I think we are basically unanimous that LeBron James should be the MVP. Now, I will say that my view is completely shaded. You guys watch more other games other than mm-hmm. the Lakers. I only watched the Lakers. I saw Joel Embiid play once against, I think it was Boston. But for the most part, the other guys, I don't see play. So I'm spoiled. I get to see LeBron mm-hmm. every game. But you guys watch other games.
I mean, look. Embiid's
great. He's not LeBron.
Yeah, he's not LeBron. And he also he doesn't play as much as LeBron. Okay, he sits out. So he sat out sometimes with a back injury or a couple little things here and there. And they haven't played well when he's been out. They finally won a game that he missed. But to me, I just think that burnishes LeBron's case. The fact that LeBron has played every single game.
And by the way, he's played every single game. And if you took every player in the NBA and you ranked their career minutes, LeBron is number one. So he's been the guy that you would expect not to play every single game.
Right.
He'd be the guy that has a built-in excuse. He has more career minutes than anybody. But because he's just an athletic freak who takes care of his body better than anybody else, he's able to lead a team to a 19-6 record. I don't mean to put down Joel Embiid.
No, he's a great player.
You know, I think Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, he's going to finish second.
is good, but like, I mean, you compare him to LeBron. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, look,
I take LeBron in a heartbeat.
The Lakers have a real, you know, like a bad second half, or LeBron misses significant time with some kind of injury or whatever. Like, you know, I don't even think this is going to be a close vote. I don't even know why the straw poll's close. I just think it's first of all, you owe him after last year, right?
Yeah.
All the people who didn't vote for him last year. I think that it's almost like a makeup vote, right? But also, he totally deserves it. I mean,
Mace, you always make the point, and I think you're right, that for whatever reason, the regular season MVP is a traveling award. They try and take care of everybody.
Yeah.
And they, you know, since he's won it four times, that actually works against him. So if Philadelphia has a big year, maybe they try and take care of Embiid. But he doesn't deserve it. I mean, Kobe Bryant won one NBA MVP award.
I'll say this, though, John. Don't you think that it's not that you – I think Embiid will deserve an MVP if they finish, you know, first in the East.
I think they might finish first in the East.
And they might. They might. But there's also this sense, too, that when you – you almost have to, like – finish second a couple times before you finally win it. Like, you know, that was kind of how it was with Harden. He had to finish second before he finally won it. I feel like you almost have to pay your dues. Like, if you have two or three MVP seasons, you'll probably win it your second or third time.
Or you got to be at the tail end, like Malone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I mean, Kobe won his MVP in 2008. That was like his only regular season MVP award.
Right. And the point I was going to make is, even though LeBron deserves it, if you had a poll of who's the best player in the NBA,
yeah,
LeBron would win in a landslide.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the MVP is rarely that. It's like, who do we want to take care of this year? And in a lot of ways, Coach of the Year is the same thing. Phil Jackson won one Coach of the Year award. He won 11 titles in a 20-year span. How do you win one Coach of the Year award?
You know what it is a little bit, too, with LeBron and to a lesser extent Phil Jackson, is that, like, I used to live right on the beach. I had a little tiny place right on the beach.
I like that place.
And I had a view of the ocean, and it was fantastic. And after a while, you take the view for granted. After a while, you take for granted the idea that you step out onto your patio and you see the ocean. I mean, when I was a little kid, the idea of living on the ocean was incredible. But you stop appreciating the view.
Totally.
And I think that's a lot what
goes
on with
LeBron. I'll take it a step farther than that. And Ramona, tell me if you agree, because I'm obviously a little biased because I work for the Lakers. But I think there's a Lakers tax. In other words,
if you
look at, I mean, any objective person looking at Executive of the Year last year. All right, if you want to say you're not going to vote for Rob Pelinka, that's all right. You want to make that argument? I'll listen to it. Eighth?
Yeah.
Eighth in a year where he basically should have taken a leave of absence. And instead, he decided to stick it out and led his team to a title.
He only got one vote.
Right. I mean, that's just that's spite. That's spite. Like, oh, he had LeBron and AD. But I mean,
but he put a great cast around him, and it worked.
And everybody said when he hired Frank Vogel, that's not going to work. Everybody said, oh, wait, Danny Green, that's not going to work. You know, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And not only did it work, I mean, he completely deserved it. But the like Ramona, like you say, one vote, that's a Lakers tax. That's, well, they're the Lakers, they have built in advantages. And it if they say it about LeBron, it's not true. If LeBron was playing on another team, I would tell you he's the MVP. He's been the best player this year.
Yeah. Well, I also think too that like with Rob Pelinka, there was everybody in the league wanted his job.
Right.
And he got it. Okay. So,
and he was an agent who a lot of people had dealt with. Yeah.
Yeah. And some liked and some didn't. Okay. So I think there's a jealousy that he'll always be living down. There's also
but
the
do you
Rich
think
Paul
that
of
exists?
It all. Like, you know, there's a lot of people who think, oh, okay, Rich Paul got everybody there, not Rob. Right.
Right.
And so he's always just going to be kind of like living with those two, you know, knocks on him. But I truly don't think he cares anymore.
I really don't.
I think he just kind of accepted that with the job. I think it probably bothered him, you know, during the worst of the, you know, the bat, you know, when Magic stepped down in that summer. I think that had to be really hard. I mean, to hear your name dragged through the mud like that,
yeah,
you know, day in and day out. But I really don't think he cares anymore. I think he just kind of.
I think what he cares about is winning it.
Yeah.
And now that he's won one, I think that he's laser focused on that. But
yep,
in terms of awards, which is the conversation we're having, mm-hmm, I think some of that gets, you know, pinned on LeBron. That, oh, LeBron, he had Wade and Bosh with him in Miami.
Yeah.
He had Kevin Love and Kyrie with him, blah, blah, blah. And now LeBron's got AD, blah, blah, blah. LeBron's been the best player. I mean, look at the numbers. Yeah. Look at the – I mean, and nobody else has played every game that's up for this award except
him. And by the
way,
he played every game and then grinded into overtime the last two games against Detroit and against Oklahoma City the other night.
Well, I'll tell you this.
40-plus minutes, 45 minutes sometimes. I mean, he is grinding.
So, Mace, I've been an MVP voter for, I guess it's 7 or 8 years now.
Yep.
And each year I always have a thought about voting for LeBron because he is the best player. But there's been years where you don't vote for him because he didn't play defense very much. He took – remember there was a year he took a couple weeks off in the middle of the year to like hang out in Florida. He was just – I actually found out later he was getting his back right. I think he got epidurals like I got. You know, I think he had like a some kind of disc issue or something, and he got epidurals to get through the season and then spent all that time doing PT and rehabbing and getting his core strong, and he made it through without having to have a procedure.
Yeah.
But – you know, there was always some knock against him. There's always a reason you didn't vote for him, right? Like the Cavs didn't win the East. They weren't the best team. And
right.
You looked at them and you said, okay, well, LeBron can't be MVP if he doesn't play defense. LeBron can't be MVP if he took off, you know, all these, you know, 3-4 weeks in the middle of the season, right? I mean, there was always reasons. But last year and this year, I don't even see the debate. I mean, the guy – at his age, to be doing for a franchise like the Lakers, and John, you say there's a Lakers tax. I actually think it should be the opposite. I think it should be part of the case for him.
Right.
To do
I think
in,
there's a lot more pressure to play for the Lakers.
Totally. I mean, there's pressure on Embiid. I'll say that. There is a lot of pressure on him in Philly, but he hasn't played every game. And I think he has. It's like it's sort of like if he plays this well this year, he can finish second, and that'll be good. I mean, unless barring anything that happens with LeBron. You know, or the Lakers, but and then if he does it again the year after that or 2 years from now, then he can win one. I mean, I think that's usually how it plays out with
Momo.
With
are you
young
talking
stars.
To us from your bed?
I am, yeah.
Are you actually laying in bed?
I'm actually laying in bed, yeah.
Wow,
I love it. That's work ethic right there, people.
I do have to do one bit of exertion. I have to hold the cord on my phone, you know, like the headphones.
That must
I have
be
to
tough.
Hold it close to my mouth so that you get a good, you know, it sounds good.
That, so wait
that
a minute.
Must be tough holding that.
Ramona,
cord.
But you are, you so you're filling in for Mason next year. Mason is going on a much needed and well deserved
vacation. I told you I wouldn't take any
vacation
this year until February.
But so you're going to do the next three shows from your bed? Because that
much,
adds a bonus to it. Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Michael, what do you want to say?
Yeah, Ramona.
Maybe I'll stand up to go get a drink of water.
Ramona,
that's
what are you hearing
what
about
do.
Fans getting back into the arena? Because now in New York, Cuomo's saying that fans can now go and start going back to Madison Square Garden and the Brooklyn Center. So what's happening there in the NBA front?
Yeah,
line
you know, this is it's a really interesting topic because I obviously got into this with the Warriors. You know, Joe Lacob has his Project Dub Nation, and I really think that's going to be the model for how everybody gets back, right? And one of the things that's undoing, Michael, is there was a period of time where our government kind of left everything to the states. Mm-hmm. And the league tried to take that approach, too. Like, okay, well, we'll just follow what the government and public health officials are doing. But there is a case now for one, the states are kind of opening back up. They're allowing a little bit more. And if you can do testing, like real testing, real PCR rapid testing, like the Warriors are planning to, this is like not only I think it's safe, but I think it's a public health service. I mean, if you're testing 10,000 people a day going to a game, that's really good for the city, for all those people to be tested. And so I think and the Warriors were willing to pay for it. Now, other teams that are doing this, I know in Miami, they got the COVID sniffing dogs and, you know, they're not doing tests. But the people who sit in a certain vicinity at a like courtside and close, I think it's like within 30 rows. Is that what it is? I think that's the rule. They have to show proof of a negative test before going to a game. And there has to be a certain amount of spacing. So there is a safe way of doing this if you have the right air filtration systems and distancing and testing for the people who are close to the players and staff. And I really think that it's becoming imperative, not only for our society, but like in the league in general. I mean,
well, I'll tell you what, Momo, my mom and not stepdad Leo, who are actually moving in together right now, they're going their second shots next week.
Awesome.
Now, I have no problem with them going to a Lakers game if they've had both shots.
Yeah, and they're going to wear masks, right?
Yeah, they're still going to wear a mask.
Yeah.
They're, you know, 95% covered with a mask.
Yeah.
And even at that 5%, it's going to reduce the severity of it. I have no problem with them going to a game.
Me too.
Once I get two shots, I'm in, man.
Yeah,
I'm
my folks are getting
life.
Their second shot. They're getting their second shot tomorrow. It's such a load off my mind once they get it, you know, because it's just they're older and, you know, they still come around and help out with Daniel. And it's like, to me, that's been my biggest fear the whole time. Right.
Yep.
And, you know, thank God that we've got this out for the, you know, 65 and older folks. And so,
yep.
Like, to me, we're kind of like there's like a pendulum swing, Michael,
mm-hmm.
you know, to answer your first question.
Yeah.
It's like it was just the same thing as testing last year. Remember last year when at this point, the NBA didn't want to take up tests from frontline healthcare workers.
Yes.
And Adam Silver kept telling the players and telling everyone, look, we can't do this yet, but there's going to come a point when testing is going to be more widespread and we're not going to be taking tests away from anybody who needs it. And when that point hits, we're going to be ready. And
yep.
then that's when we're going to be able to do the bubble. And they did. They hit the sweet spot. So
okay, Momo, I hate to cut you off, but I'm going to cut you off.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm not
Momo
going anywhere.
Momo will be back tomorrow. Momo from bed tomorrow.
Do you want me to take a picture? I'll show you. I'll show
Excellent.
You what I look like.
Send a picture.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Also, I have a drop for you. I've been teaching Daniel to say, Mommy went to Stanford, so we don't like Cal. And he's almost got it down.
Oh,
he's got it perfect. It's
that's
a great drop. Yeah.
Okay, we will use that. All right. Coming up next for you is The Scoop. Thank
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you, Momo. All right, here we go. The Scoop is brought to you by Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. John, yesterday, or actually last week, MLB Network ranked the top 10 shortstops in baseball. They've got Corey Seager at number 6 behind Trevor Story, Fernando Tatis Jr., Xander Bogaerts, Francisco Lindor, and Trey Turner. Last year, Seager batted .307, 15 homers, 41 RBIs in the shortened season. The year before, he led the league in doubles, 19 homers, 87 RBIs. Where should Corey Seager be ranked?
Obviously I'm biased, but I definitely put him ahead of Bogaerts and Turner. So right there, that moves him to the top 4. And Story's good. Tatis
has a chance to be really good.
Yeah. So if I put Bogaerts and Trey Turner behind him, who are the three in front of him?
Trevor Story, Fernando Tatis Jr. That would be number 3. You'd put him at number 3.
Then that's where I'm putting him. I think those are the only two that I would put him behind are Story and Tatis.
Yeah, I would put him at third. I would put him at third also. Trevor Story, not a lot of people know him because
Lindor is the one we left out. Lindor, he's right there with. I would put Seager and Lindor in a coin flip.
Yeah, Lindor is right there. Lindsay, how would you rank him?
I think he's a little overrated.
You think Corey Seager's overrated?
No. Lindor is a little overrated.
I agree.
Would you put Seager ahead of Lindor, Lindsay?
I think I would slightly.
Would you put him ahead of Trey Turner?
He's done more recently.
Would you put him ahead of Trey Turner?
Yes, absolutely.
I think so.
Just because of his bat alone. Turner's really fast, but Seager gets way more production out of his bat.
Yeah, I would go Story, Tatis, Corey Seager, Francisco Lindor, Xander Bogaerts, and then Trey Turner, number 6. That's what I would do. All right, yeah, they're doing that with every position, MLB Network. I think Corey Seager dramatically underrated at number 6. All right, Ireland, it's you.
All right, I'm going to tell you a story, and I want you to tell me if it makes me a complete idiot or just a little bit of an idiot.
I'm already leaning one way.
Okay. I was driving yesterday, and I just started laughing for no reason. And here's what I was thinking about. You remember when you played that video of a judge talking to a lawyer and he had a cat filter on his computer and he was trying to have a serious conversation, but he had a cat filter so he couldn't. In case you guys missed it yesterday, here's what it sounded like.
Mr. Ponton, I believe you have a filter turned on in the video settings. You might want to
Can you hear me, Judge?
I can hear you. I think it's a filter.
It is, and I don't know how to remove it. I've got my assistant here. She's trying to, but I'm prepared to go forward with it. I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
I can see that.
I'm not a cat.
All right.
I'm not a cat.
So, Mace.
Yes.
I could not stop laughing about I'm not a cat. So this is how my brain works. I've now decided I would watch an entire Netflix series, like 10 episodes, and you could call it Catman. Here's the plot. This guy would be a lawyer
yep.
who represented people of like really serious crimes.
Okay.
And he would have all the facts on his side. But the jury would always find against him because they couldn't take him seriously. And at some point, he would just yell in frustration, I am not a cat! Are you in or out on Catman, the Netflix show?
I think it would be fun. I mean, you could put Catman right in Law & Order. You could replace Sam Waterston with Catman. As the boss on Law & Order, Dick Wolf should get on this right away.
And I want the same filter of, like, the happy cat, like, and he's saying, he did not use the knife. The knife is not long enough, and it had a jagged edge. And the jury would just be doing everything they could to take him seriously, but they couldn't do it.
I'm not a cat.
Lindsay, would you watch my Catman Netflix show?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
it's no Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, come on, man. He's not a cat.
Oh, Larry David with a filter, with a cat filter, would be awesome. Accidentally in a cat filter. By the way, there was yesterday, I read a story, Singapore, a professor in Singapore was doing a lecture for a class at some university in Singapore. And at the end of it, realized he was on mute the entire time. He did a two-hour lecture, and it was completely on mute.
And the students just, nobody told him.
Nobody told him.
It would be rude, apparently. I already said to you.
Wah, 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 wah.
I'm not a cat.
I'm not a cat. Getting ready for the Super Bowl, Carson Palmer did some interviews. Here's what he said about Dak Prescott.
I love Dak's game. I think he's great. I think he shouldn't shoot for the moon. Being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, there's a lot that comes with that financially. So you don't have to be the top paid quarterback in the league. You can make as much as the top paid quarterback in the league when you're the Dallas Cowboys quarterback if you do take less. Because if you win in Dallas, I mean, you just look at today's television networks. You got Troy Aikman. Well, yesterday's or last year's. NFL networks. You got Troy Aikman, Jason Witten, and Tony Romo all on national televised games. You know, partially because of their playing careers, but a majority of that is because they play for the Dallas Cowboys. They're a household name. You've seen Dak on tons of commercials and endorsements. You know, you can make that same top tier money if you're Dak and you take a little bit less and you can keep. You can keep Zeke Elliott and you can keep all the players around you because those guys can get re-signed within the salary cap structure. And you can make that money off the field that you're missing on the field by doing endorsements with Sleep Number and Nike and Campbell's Chunky Soup and all the other ones that you see Dak doing.
John, what do you think? You make more as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, so you should take a little less.
I don't think Carson's crazy. Although... I've seen other players do this, and then the team screws it up around them.
Yeah, I mean, Brady did it for years.
Yeah, I would. Well, he could because he was married to Giselle. I would subscribe to that if I was Dak, but I'd want to be, kind of like Russell Wilson is arguing. I'd want to be involved in some of the things you're doing and let me know what you're going to do with the rest of the money. And, yeah, let's try and win. It's more fun to be the quarterback and win in Dallas than it is to be the quarterback and win in Jacksonville, don't you think?
So he's going to be on his final franchise tag. He was franchised last year. He's going to be franchised this year. He's going to make something like $32 million. If I'm Dak and I know that after this season I can be a lock cold free agent, I'm going to bet on myself. Screw Jerry Jones. I'm not going to settle for one penny less. I am one of the top 10 quarterbacks in this league, and I'm going to be paid like it. I want my money. If I'm Dak Prescott, there is no way I take a penny less.
That's probably how it will turn out and how his agent is going to tell him to play it. But that'll actually lead me into my last question.
Okay.
All right. The Cowboys released a hype video this week.
Okay.
Getting fans excited about next season and encouraging them to buy tickets. But there was one notable omission from the video. There was no Dak Prescott. He's nowhere to be found. No picture, no mention of Prescott anywhere. Prescott, as you pointed out, doesn't have a new contract, and the two sides are reportedly not close. The team is now saying today it was a mistake, an oversight, that they didn't put Prescott in the video, but nobody believes them. Let's say you're a Cowboys fan. Does this mean they're seriously considering going a different direction?
You know, Jerry Jones is just arrogant enough to do it. He's just arrogant enough to say...
He fired Jimmy Johnson because he thought he didn't need him.
He's just arrogant enough to say, you know what, Dak Prescott, we can replace you. And I think he will be making the ultimate mistake. If you don't put somebody in your hype video, that means you're not hyped about him.
And, Michael, what do you mean he didn't? He brought in Barry Switzer. Switzer won one Super Bowl with Jimmy's players, and they haven't been back in 30 years.
Well, he won a Super Bowl. That sounds successful to me.
Yeah, but they haven't
been back.
It's
been years.
Well, how many years has Cleveland been there, or Detroit?
Everybody's getting better, or they're getting worse. Cleveland's getting better. Dallas is getting worse.
How many Super Bowls does Cleveland have, Lindsay?
That would be a zero.
We don't have any yet.
But I would argue they're an ascending team, that they're getting better. I would argue that Dallas has been bad for 30 years.
And Dallas, I mean, has almost nowhere to go but up now. They've been so bad.
All they got to do is win like 8 or 9 games in their division. They'll be in the playoffs.
Well, Michael, would you cut bait with Dak?
No, I'd bring Dak back. But Carson's kind of right. I mean, Dak's going to get $37 million next year based on the franchise
value. Michael,
did you take
less in your career?
When you, Mace, Lindsay,
you were a Laker, Michael. You could have made up
Michael,
that money.
You would have taken less to play for the Lakers rather than
In Portland if I'm happy. Yeah. Because we'd be talking about, okay, $40 million a year or $37 million a year. I mean, come on. What are we talking here? I think I'd be set either way, right?
No, we're talking about $31 million a year versus $70 million guaranteed. That's what we're actually talking about. We're talking about franchise tag, which is a great number, $32 or $33 million or whatever that is.
It's going to be more than 37 this year.
What you're not getting is that gigantic – you know, life-changing, generational-changing money. You're not getting that. What did Jared Goff get? $80 million guaranteed? Dak deserves to be paid like that.
What's wrong with betting on yourself for one season?
That's exactly what Dak is going to do, and I think he's going to win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he'll definitely win. He's just got to be a good quarterback. He'll get his money because somebody from the other team will give it to him.
Absolutely. Half the teams in the league need a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
All right, there is your scoop for today. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lens is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Radio Tinder time. Lindsay, what do you got for us?
Here's a good catfishing story here.
Oh.
A 63-year-old Texas woman was tricked out of $100,000 by a catfishing con who convinced her that she was dating Bruno Mars. The victim told police that she created an account on Instagram in 2018 in search of companionship, and then somebody claiming to be Mars contacted her. Court documents state that the woman fell in love with the person that she believed to be Mars after he spent 3 months sending her dozens of photos of the Grammy winner while he was on tour.
Ooh.
The catfisher even promised her that he would quit his current tour to be with her. But, you know, he never did.
Yep.
Then the scammer began requesting money from the woman, first asking her for a $10,000 check for tour expenses.
Oh, God.
I don't know why Bruno Mars would need $10,000 for tour expenses.
Hey, lady,
but
help me with my tour.
I digress. 2 days later, he allegedly hit her up again for money, asking for $90,000. The catfisher is now in custody and has been charged with a third-degree felony of money laundering. Do you guys know anyone who's ever been catfished? Swipe left or swipe right.
Well, not personally, but I guess, Mace, the Monte Teo is the cautionary tale, right?
Yeah,
the old
sure.
Notre Dame linebacker. And I guess we do know some people, and some of these people tend to prey on the elderly. And, you know, what they'll do is they'll go on your Facebook page. Mason and I have a friend whose parents were very old. They went on the Facebook page. They called and said, "We have your grandson. Send us money right now or you'll never see him again." And the parents actually sent him the money. And, you know, so you got to be really careful. I told my mom, anytime anybody is asking you for money, you need to call me and clear it with me first, because they're all up to something.
Yeah. You know, I got catfished once in a moment of honesty.
How'd they do it?
I made a connection. I was really young. I was probably 22 years old, and I was living out here, and I started talking to somebody who claimed to be a member of the UCLA water polo team. And the conversations went on and on and on. And finally, I figured it out. I figured out it was total fake. Never asked me for anything, any money or anything, but definitely not a member of the UCLA water polo team. And I got completely suckered and catfished.
Yeah,
I never went anywhere, but I got, you know, it was friggin' embarrassing.
Right. Lindsay, have you ever been catfished?
I have not, but interesting story. Back right after I graduated high school, I started dating this guy that went on to be my boyfriend for many, many, many years. But before we started dating, he was like hesitant because turns out he met somebody. He met somebody that summer and he wanted to date her, and things got really, really serious. Well, long story short, I could tell you the details some other time, but it turned out that it was actually, he was dating this girl who he had never met in person, and was actually his extremely overweight and unattractive neighbor that lived a couple blocks over that had been obsessed with him all throughout high school.
And she just created a phony persona to hook him.
So you lost your boyfriend to a fake girl.
Well, once he found out that it wasn't her, because I had to, once I figured it out, I was going to figure it out. And I had to drive past her house while she was on the phone with him for him to realize that this was this girl. And then, you know, I was stupid and ended up dating him after that because it didn't work out with her. But, you know, it was still pretty funny looking back on it. Yes, exactly. Confession.
Yeah, I get told all the time. I'm a little overly honest on that show. That was a pretty, I was being very vulnerable with that story. All right, Lindsay, what do you got next?
All right, it's almost President's Day, and now there's a chance to own a quirky piece of White House history. Locks of George and Martha Washington's hair, along with the pen that Warren Harding used to end U.S.'s involvement in World War I, are among a trove of nearly 300 presidential artifacts hitting the auction block. Boston-based RR Auctions said that online bidding gets underway tomorrow and runs through February 18th. Last year, the same auction house sold a lock of Lincoln's hair wrapped in a blood-stained telegram about his 1865 assassination to an unidentified buyer for $81,000. So let's say if presidential memorabilia auctions aren't your thing, is there anything pricey that you would seek to buy at an auction, like art, historical items, etc.? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm a swipe left on this, Mace. I've never been that guy. Matter of fact, you walk by if you come into my house, you wouldn't even know. I have no, for lack of a better word, memorabilia of any type of historical, sports-related, anything. Do you have anything that's like, you know, Roger Lodge, you know, our buddy Roger Lodge?
Yes.
He has Gene Rayburn's microphone from
really
Match
cool.
Game, which
is
his favorite
really
show
cool.
growing up, which I thought was kind of cool. But I don't have anything like that. Do you?
You know, I've got stuff that I think that is valuable to me. Like I've got on my shelf right here a book, a John Wooden book autographed by John Wooden. It's the Pyramid of, I forget the name of it. What's that book, John?
They Call Me Coach is his hit book, but the Pyramid of Success was what he was known for. He had a pyramid. Yeah.
So They Call Me Coach autographed by John Wooden personally. Now, I value that. That's important to me. I have a Sandy Koufax baseball autograph that I got him to autograph myself at spring training 1 year with the Dodgers. I value that. Back in the garage, I've got a bunch of stuff that I value, but I don't put out. Like I've got Tom Seaver rookie cards and Steve Carlton rookie cards and all kinds of Ricky Henderson rookie cards, Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, I collected all that stuff over the years, but I just store that. I don't put it out anywhere. But the two things I put out, Sandy Koufax autographed baseball and book signed by John Wooden, and I value both of those. Both of them, I was there for the actual signings, which makes it cool. Lindsay, what about you? Do you keep anything?
I mean, I've got a lot of things that I've acquired myself, but I've never tried to like buy anything in an auction house, anything like really cool like that. I mean, my most prized sports memorabilia is like my Mickey Mantle baseball.
Sure.
And then I've got like, you know, Manny Ramirez bats, a couple signed balls and pictures from him. There's a lot of like Jody Garrett balls. There's probably about a box of like 50 Jody Garrett balls.
Jody
my dad
Garrett.
Was convinced. He was convinced he was going to be a big star. And Danny Graves too. There's a lot of Danny Graves. But yeah, nothing too exciting.
Yeah, I had a lot of Ron Gant rookie cards. Remember Ron Gant from the Braves?
No.
I was convinced he was going to be a really big star. I guessed wrong on a lot of those, but I guessed right on Frank Thomas. I've got a ton of those cards. They're like valued at $60 a piece. So I've got a bunch of those Frank Thomas rookie cards. But I guessed wrong plenty of times when buying those rookie cards in bulk. All right, do you have one more?
Yep. During a candid appearance on Q104.3 in New York, KISS frontman Gene Simmons said that rock music is dead in all ways. When pressed to identify who he blames for the current state of the industry, the musician insisted that the culprits are the young fans. He went on to address the fans personally by telling them that they don't pay for music, which has killed the business and the ability for people to quit their day job and pursue being an artist. Do you agree with Gene Simmons? Swipe left or swipe right?
Here's a general rule. Don't ever agree with Gene Simmons. He's half a cup of crazy, isn't he?
He's crazy. I mean, he's smart. He's made a huge career out of that act. I mean, I don't think it's surprising. I mean, I swipe right on this. Years ago, when I was in WNEW in New York, John Mellencamp was in studio, and I asked him, you know, what's the state of rock and roll? And he said, rock and roll is dead. Rock and roll as we know it, John, sort of that, you know, if you go back to Pink Floyd and all those bands from the 70s, right. That music doesn't exist now. Music has really, really changed. And you could say that there's not a lot of rock and roll on a music station like Kiss FM anymore.
Yeah, for the worse, it's changed.
I mean, think about
how talented those guys were with playing the instruments
and
singing.
Yeah,
well, Michael,
unbelievable.
Like, guys, if you two announced they were doing a concert tonight, we would all go if we could. If it wasn't
I know, but we're all in our 50s and Michael was in his 70s.
Yeah, but where close. Where are the 20-something-year-old rock bands? Like, he's right. That genre is gone.
Yeah, I mean, you could call, like, I love Imagine Dragons. I love AJR.
Maze, you like Mumford & Sons. They're kind of a throwback band.
You could argue Mumford & Sons is a rock band. Yeah, they've got actual instruments. Everybody plays guitar.
I miss
Marcus
the hair
plays
bands.
The drums.
I miss the hair.
Def Leppard, Bon Jovi,
yeah.
Poison.
Oh,
the 80s.
The Scorpions.
The 80s were an era.
The Scorpions. Oh,
the Scorps. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Rock you like a hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
But I agree. Hey, I think rock and roll as we know it is dead.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you mentioned Imagine Dragons. What about like 21 Pilots? Mumford & Sons. Like
21 Pilots is a great example. Yeah.
Fall Out Boy. I feel like there's still rock. It's just not the same type of rock that... You know,
bring back
like
is Panic at the Disco rock?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, Panic at the Disco
rock.
is a great band. It's actually just one person, weirdly. Panic at the Disco is Pink rock?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. So rock has changed. It's not what you hear necessarily on the radio. I mean, I listen to Alt Nation on. I listen to what is it? The one that's got Woody in the morning. I listened to that station, 98.7, I think. So I guess that is rock. It's just different from the rock that we grew up on, that 70s classic rock.
If it wasn't for Hair Nation on Sirius Radio, I'd be lost.
Is that right? Wow.
Hair Nation, channel 39.
There you go.
What's your favorite hair band, Michael?
I like Metallica.
Yep.
I like I said, I like the Scorpions. All those, I like AC/DC. I like Vixen. You remember Vixen?
I do remember Vixen.
I love those girls. They were great.
Yeah, they were great.
Yes.
They were great. Yeah, all that music, Def Leppard, all that music is like from my era as a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's changed.
Yep.
All right, coming up next for you, Tim Bontemps is going to join us. He's written a big compilation of all of the experts at ESPN and who he thinks are the early favorites for MVP. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.